Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Long Two with Barn and Tims. Tims, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. It's been a good week. How about yourself?
Good, yeah, all good for me, thanks, Tims. Excellent. All good for me. Have you been watching much basketball?
It's not been my most productive week of basketball watching, I have to admit, but I've been trying my best and, of course, done some last-minute revision before this week's podcast. So yeah, I think well I'm done. Just about on track.
Yeah, nice. Tim, tell everyone what you were doing, not last night, but the night before, why you haven't been watching much basketball.
Oh, I went to the Champions League game, Barcelona at home to Stade Brestois. A 3-0 win for Barcelona.
Amazing.
Which was a good experience, actually. My first Champions League game, and I know you've been to one already, Barn.
Tim's, mine was in Barcelona as well. I've been to PSG before as well, which was great. But yeah, no, the Barcelona atmosphere in the Olympic Stadium is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, so good. We might have chosen the wrong podcast topic. Maybe we should be doing Barcelona Champions League game as our podcast. But
did we care enough about it, Tim? So,
Very good point. But how's your week of basketball watching been?
Mine's been quite good, Tim's, actually. I've been managing to watch a fair bit.
Excellent.
I've been watching quite a bit of your raps, actually. And I haven't been hating what I've been seeing, Tim. I really haven't. Oh, you beat the Wolves.
We beat the Wolves. We beat the Pelicans as well. We've had 3 wins in our last 5 games, I think.
Yeah.
And that has obviously coincided with Scotty Barnes coming back, and he's had some great performances, putting up some big numbers. And yeah, I mean, it's good to see. I mean, I was quite enjoying us keeping the games close and losing so often, which has been good for our tank. But No, it's good to see Scotty back, and we're still waiting for Emmanuel Quickley as well. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year. But what I have enjoyed is that RJ is still getting a lot of touches. He's still got his assist numbers up as they were when Scotty was out and he was handling every possession. So, yeah, I'm happy with what I'm seeing, Barn. And I'm glad you were as well when you watched my round.
Yeah, no, I really was. RJ, he had an unreal game against the Wolves. I think he got 31-7 or something. I was worried, Tim, because I thought he might suffer slightly with Scotty being back. But actually, they seem to be playing off each other really nicely.
Absolutely. I was worried exactly the same as you. So hopefully it continues. I mean, Scotty took, I think, 25 shots last night in a win against the Pelicans. And he put up some big points. But he has such a high usage rate when he plays, which is great. Obviously, he's our star prospect, which is what you want. But I do hope the others continue to get theirs as well. And yeah, briefly on the Wolves, we did beat the Wolves, but I've not been impressed with them at all this season. But
Me neither. I think that cat trade was a terrible decision. I think the Wolves gave up a bit too much chemistry, in my opinion. Obviously, Cat's a great player as well, but I mean, when you've got a young star like Anthony Edwards, who had such a bromance with Cat, I think they miss out on a lot there.
For sure. I watched the end of the Wolves-Celtics game, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And they did keep it close to the Timberwolves in Boston, mainly due to Anthony Edwards hitting a bunch of shots in the fourth quarter, no surprise.
Yeah.
But Julius Randle, he stops any form of ball movement, few pump fakes, few jab steps, and then drives to the rim in the hope of getting a call from the ref. And often he does get a foul and a couple of free throws, but it's so horrible to watch, I have to say.
Sims, that's another reason I thought the cat trade was great for the Knicks, shipping Randle out. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was painful. It's really painful.
It is. And I saw a quote, Anthony Edwards, we'll move on from the Timberwolves rapidly after this, but he said, "We soft as hell as a team internally. We can't talk to each other. It's just like we're playing with a bunch of little kids." That's what he said this week.
I thought,
I'm glad he's saying it because it seems like it's true.
Yeah. That man, no one's given that man any media training, have they? Or at least he hasn't taken any notice of it.
Yeah. And we're here for it.
And Tims, a couple of losses for you guys this week. But I mean, one was against the Cavs and the other one you lost to a buzzer beater from Jaden Ivey. Pistons, so I think you've got a lot to be happy about this week, too.
And we still have a nice losing record, so it's been a good week for
that. We still have a nice losing record, yeah. I forget exactly what you're after. Quick one on the Flag tank, Tims. Cooper Flag, he leads Duke in every single statistical category.
Yeah.
Points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks.
Yeah, he looks like the big prospect, doesn't he?
Isn't that ridiculous?
I know. Like, when's that happened for a school like Duke as well?
I know. Crazy. Well, exactly. Duke have they'll have kind of five of the best 10 players in college, won't they?
Oh, exactly. Basically. Exactly. Yeah. What else have you been watching this week, Barn?
I've been watching us, Tim. So I've been watching us a lot. The Mavs, sorry for anyone who doesn't know what us means.
We're on us terms already.
Not me and Tim's playing basketball. What have we been up to this week? We beat the Nuggets. Luca's been out. Yeah, Tim's, we beat the Nuggets. Guess what Clay shot? He had eight shots. Guess how many he made?
I'll go one for eight.
Nah, you're being generous. He made none.
Oh, no.
Could not believe it. Couldn't believe it. But we got over. Jokic had a 33-point triple-double that game. Murray was in. MPJ was in. We gave up a 24-point lead in the third to make it close. But we still overcame it. I enjoyed that, Tim. So we've obviously been without Luca all week, which... I'm not going to be that guy that says we play better without Luca, because it's for a man of his talent, you always want him on the floor, obviously. Yeah. But we've been playing bloody well without him. We lost to the Heat. Everyone knows how much we love Jimmy Butler, Timbs. He had 33, so I wasn't that annoyed. He had a great game. Standout for me this week, Timbs. Oh, sorry, I'll just read you through the rest of our games, Timbs. We beat the Hawks and we beat the Knicks last night. Brunson. I've scored. I didn't look what he had at the end, but I think he had 34 when I looked. I woke up in the night and thought, oh, check on the game. But Tim's my standout player for us this week. Tell me if you've heard of this guy or not. Is Naji Marshall?
Yeah, I hope you were going to say him, because I've seen and I've been every time I check a Mavs box score, he's got 20 something points.
Tim's at the moment. Couldn't believe it. So. In his entire career, he's only been in the league 3 or 4 years or whatever, but in his entire career, he's only had 5 20-point games, until this week when he's had 4.
That's outrageous.
I know. Really aggressive to the rim, but he has absolutely no issue shooting the three as well. Big guy, strong on defence. Yeah, I've been enjoying him, Tim. PJ's been great this week too. Obviously, no Luka, you expect Kyrie to be carrying us. Which he has.
Yeah.
he really has. In the game against the Hawks, he had 13 in the fourth. Great to see. We know how clutch Kyrie can be.
Yeah. Closing the games. I'm looking at Naji Marshall's game log now, Barn.
Yeah.
This season, he started with 2 points, two, then 4, 4, 4, and 4.
Yeah.
And then his last four are 26, 20, 22, and 24.
Ridiculous. I mean,
unbelievable.
Absolutely ridiculous. Now, you expect these sort of guys to step up when someone like Luka is out, Tim. But I see no issue why he can't do this when Luka's back. It's not like Luka takes his touches away from him. He's like a... Well, he plays the three, but if you watch him on the court, he's almost more of a stretch four role.
Yeah.
He sits in the corner and he drives or he waits, depending on what's going on the floor. So I see no reason why this can't be the making of him. Sometimes it happens, like we were worried about with RJ Barrett. Luka comes back and suddenly Marshall gets no touches, but I think he'll actually thrive a bit more with Luka on the floor. Tim, what else have I been watching this week? Oh, Wemby returned to action. Nice to see. And the Spurs beat the Warriors. Wemby got 12 points in the fourth to overcome it. Spurs were down by 17 in the third, Tim's, in that game. Absolutely ridiculous. Draymond, any guesses on how many points Draymond got?
I'll say four.
Nah, one.
Too generous to both Draymond and
Clay. What else was Wemby doing? Oh, yeah. He scored 24 points. In the first half against the Jazz. You expect that against the Jazz, though. I'm not really sure that's anything to write home about. But Harrison Barnes has had a couple of 20-point games for the Spurs this week. They got another guy, Timbs, whose name escapes me. He's been playing really well for them this week.
Is it the rookie, Stephon Castle?
Yeah, well done, Stephon Castle. Yeah, he's had a 20-point game or two.
Yeah, he looks good. He's the guy who LeBron was praising after the Lakers played the Spurs this season. This guy's going to be good. I can't remember exactly what he said. I won't lie, but But no, he's looked good. He's looked good, and there's been a few good rookies this year.
There has,
which I think we'll discuss a bit later in our early season awards.
I think we will. Russell Westbrook is averaging a better 3-point percentage. Oh, guess what Russ is averaging, Tim?
I think it's high 30s, isn't it?
38.4. For everyone saying that he couldn't shoot, like, at all anymore at the start of the season, I mean, he's just gone out and shown... And that's 38.4% when, for the first few games of the season, yeah, he was shooting, like, 20, 25%, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Meaning he's probably been shooting, like, 45, 50 in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I'm just checking. He's on track for his best three-point shooting season ever by 3%. His best ever was 16, 17, 34% from three.
That's incredible.
So, hey, let's see.
Incredible, yeah. Oh, great, Tims. I know you love a stat. The Timberwolves, yeah?
Yeah.
After their loss against the Raptors, they haven't won in Toronto in the regular season since 2004. How ridiculous is that? Now, Tims, I didn't quite believe the fact, yeah? So I did do some fact-checking.
Yeah.
And the Wolves did beat the Raptors a couple of times when the Raptors were at home in the regular season, but they weren't playing in Toronto at that point.
Oh, great.
They changed stadium for...
Great stuff. It was these people doing these stats are really on it, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. That's like, they still only beat them twice in 20 years.
Yeah, no, that's still a good record, I would
pretty
say.
Pretty incredible, isn't it?
But yeah, there's been a lot of stat lines that have caught my eye this week, Barn. It's
like
a peculiar week. I mean, OG Anunoby, former Rap, he got 40 points. 40-point game, new career high. That was nice to see. We had Elfrid Payton. I mean, this guy on the Pelicans, he was out the league for a couple, was it 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah,
didn't play an NBA game. And then the other day against the Pacers, he recorded 14 points, 7 rebounds, along with 21 assists. I mean, that is absurd. What type of stat line is that? Amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying the return of Elfrid Payton because, I mean, I feel for him a bit. He's one of the players who can't really shoot the three at a high rate.
Yeah.
But despite being a technically good point guard, he's out the league because he can't shoot 40% from three. I mean, I've enjoyed seeing the return of Elfrid Payton this week.
Yeah.
One more stat that caught my eye, Barn, is that LaMelo Ball recorded a 44-point game.
Yeah.
Which is no great surprise with how many shots he's been putting up this year. but his team scored 84 points and he scored 44. So he scored over half the team's points. Yeah. And so I thought, when's the last time a player scored over half their team's points? It can't happen very often, surely.
You wouldn't think so, Tim.
No.
Go on.
I don't know the answer.
But, I see.
But hey, maybe we'll find out by the end of the podcast.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well,
hey, that caught my eye.
I'm thinking you probably have to score. I mean, 44 and scoring over half your team's points is a really low scoring game for your team, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking you have to score 60 or 70 or... So if people like D. Mitch and Burke come to mind immediately.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a look, Tim. We'll have a look. Oh yeah, Tim. Back to OG's 40-point game against the Nuggets. Russell Westbrook, 24 points in the fourth quarter in that game.
That's outrageous. I mean, I think it was a blowout. Was it?
Say that again.
If I'm wrong. Was it a blowout?
It was. Yeah. Proper. Yeah.
The garbage time minutes, but.
But still, Tims, you've got to be making the shots in the garbage time.
Yeah.
Nuggets beat the Lakers for the billionth time in a row, Tims.
Yeah, I mean, death taxes and the Nuggets beating the Lakers.
I know. Absolutely crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy.
And that was in LA as well, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah. It was. And whereas I did write this down because I saw a stat at the time. Oh, yeah. Nuggets have won 12 of the last 13 games against the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, they've got their number, haven't they?
They really do, Tim. They really do.
There's been quite a few big games in there. I mean, there was a playoff series in there,
So, last year?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, first round.
And I don't really get why, Tim, because they match up quite well against the Lakers, I would think. But you don't... I know we see Dwight Howard on our screens maybe a bit too much at the moment. I love Dwight, but... and he keeps saying he needs to make an NBA comeback, and I don't necessarily disagree. But when back in 2020, when they had more than just AD's a great defender, obviously one of the best in the league, and he can handle Jokic. He can't really handle Jokic for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
So you need other bodies to slam at him, and when you got a 7-footer like Dwight, shoulders broader than I am tall, basically, then. Yeah, you need a couple more tools, weapons to throw at Jokic, I think, to tire him out a bit more. AD can contain him, but not for the whole game.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll get to it soon, I think. We'll get to trade season soon, and soon we'll be able to talk about all these rumours and potential trades that actually take place. But
yeah.
I think the Lakers need a big man, don't they, to help AD down there, because, like you say, he can't do it for 48 minutes.
No, and he naturally plays the four anyway, Tim. So if they got someone who naturally played the five, it would be quite nice, I think.
Exactly.
Suns big three were back in action, Tims.
Yeah.
Beat the Lakers in LA. That nice to see.
I think it was an NBA Cup game against the Lakers that they needed to win to have a chance of progressing still. So they came out all guns blazing for that. And I think ran out of steam a bit the next night.
Yeah, this is why I couldn't remember, because it was literally this morning. It was against the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, horrid.
Book with 31, Durant with 30, and Bradley Beal with 17. They still couldn't get over the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, I say horrid. The Nets are a tricky team, I think, and they against the big teams, they seem to put up a good fight usually.
Yeah.
But I have noticed this week that Cam Thomas, their leading scorer, has gone out for the... He'll be out for the next few weeks, Barn, I think, with
a
pulled hamstring, which is a shame.
It is a shame. He's fun to watch as well.
Yeah, he's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
He's so fun to watch. I mean, every shot he takes seems to be... The degree of difficulty seems to be absurd. It's like he's trying to hit a difficult shot. This huge step back, rise up, not release the ball very quickly. The defender is literally in his face. And he'll drain it all net. Like, it's incredible to watch.
Yeah.
So that's a shame. But Dennis Schroeder will get a chance to lead the Nets, I think, in the next few weeks. So
yeah, and Schroeder, we touched on him last week because of how efficient he's been. I mean, he got 29 this morning. For any Americans watching, last night against the Suns.
Yeah.
And we touched on his efficiency last week on the most efficient players in the league. So he'll have no trouble leading them into battle, Tims, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
No trouble at all. My most hated player, KP, was back this week for the Celtics, Tims.
Was he really? I missed that.
Yeah, 16 points, 1 of 6 from 3, 6 of 12 from the field. And the Celtics scored 51 points in the second quarter. Isn't that ridiculous? Third highest ever in one quarter.
The Celtics are so good.
Yeah, they are.
They have so much firepower. It's incredible. I mean, I watched the Timberwolves game this week, and it seemed like it was a close game in the end. And Naz Reid, actually, of all players, had a shot to win it at the buzzer.
Sure.
But Celtics seemed to always be in control of that game. They just missed a few threes down the stretch.
Yeah,
but, they're so good, Barn. And I think, they're the leading contender to take the title home, I would say, this year.
Unless you disagree. Yeah. Tims, Franz Wagner... Have you been watching much of him this week?
I have. And he had a great game against the Lakers, didn't he?
Stupid game winner. Really stupid. Step back three from so far.
Yeah.
So far beyond the arc. No, it was really really impressive. And he just goes from strength to strength, Tim. So I thought he was good last year, and I think he's even better this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the Olympics this year, I was actually watching him lead Germany.
Mm.
And... he couldn't hit a shot. In obviously a one-off game, he couldn't find his range from three-point land. But I mean, he's been unbelievable for the Magic, who have a great record now, actually, in the East, aren't they?
They're
really stretching away from the pack in third place.
Yeah, and when with Paolo out, Tim's, I mean, Franz taking them on like this is just beautiful to watch, isn't it?
Yeah,
obviously. Paolo, I think he's, on his day, one of the best players in the league. I think he's horribly underrated. So for such a big blow when he's out, when you've got a player like Franz Wagner, but watching him, Tibbs, that guy can do anything on the court.
He's amazing.
He's so impossible to guard. He's like a... you might laugh at me for this comparison, but he reminds me a bit of James Harden. Because of his hesitation work, he's a bit slower, actually... but you never know what he's going to do. You just have no clue. It's really, really nice to see.
Yeah, no, he's got a pretty full offensive game that is getting better with time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, Barn, that might be a good transition, because this week we are going to... Are we going to do our early season awards?
Yeah, let's do them, Tims. Let's do them.
Are we going to do it this week?
yeah, of course. Tims, let's do it. Let's do it.
So we're going to give our quarter season. We're about a quarter of the way through the regular season, right? We're going to do our quarter season awards. And are we going to do these, Barn, for this point of the season or for who we think will win later in the season?
Tims, I think we should have one player each who we think, if the awards were given now, that is who we would give them to.
Yeah.
And then I think we should have a couple of players who we think can work into the role. They wouldn't get it if it was given now, but they have a big chance going through the season.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I thought that was a good transition is because my most improved player right now, I think I would give to Franz Wagner of the Magic. I mean, there have been players who've stepped up their scoring more. He scored just under 20 points per game last season. He's averaging 23.3 right now.
Yeah.
So that's an increase of less than four, but we've seen... like you say, him hit game winners against the Lakers and crazy difficult shots, making the right play again and again and again. And yeah, I think Franz Wagner is my most improved player of the quarter season, Ben.
Tims, that's exactly who I had. Funny. That's great because we haven't even spoken about this at all.
Yeah.
No, Franz is for me as well. He hasn't made the biggest jump stats-wise.
Exactly.
But he's the best player, and he has improved a lot. The stats might look slightly different, but those 23 compared to the 18 last year, the 23 is so much more meaningful this year,
yeah,
I think. He's doing it in big moments. He's stepping up when he needs to. I'm completely with you, Tims. Who do you have as possibilities?
I mean, we mentioned my guy, Stormin' Norman Powell, who's gone from 14 to over 23 points per game this year on the Clippers. I mean, it's great to see that his volume's gone up, obviously, because Paul George has left. So he's up there. I think Ty Jerome, who we spoke about before the podcast on the Cavs, is playing out of his mind right now. I mean, he's playing very efficient basketball, so he'd be up there. And one more name I would throw into the mix for me is Jalen Johnson from the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
20-10-5 he's averaging this year. I mean,
is he?
He's 20-10-5, pretty big numbers.
God, I overlooked him, Tim.
Yeah, and he's shooting only 34% from three. So if he can maybe push that into the high 30s, maybe he gets to 21, 22 points per game, up from 16 last year. So Jalen Johnson is my underrated player to watch in the entire NBA right now. He's so athletic. He's incredible. He's like 6'10". He's a giant.
Sure.
And he's incredible. So, I think obviously Franz is the winner for me. But with Paolo coming back later in the year, maybe his usage goes down. So, hey, maybe we can see Jalen Johnson or Stormin' Norman or someone else come through.
Yeah, no, completely with you, Tims, on that. Yep. Who else? I actually had a different Atlanta Hawk, Tims. I had the Great Barrier Thief, Dyson Daniels, on my list. It went from averaging 6 points last year to 14 this year.
Yeah.
Slightly improved. He's gone up by one or two in the rebound and assist department. But, I mean, the 3.2 steals he's averaging is just
crazy.
It's a bit too much for me not to mention. I think he's been incredible for them this year. And my guy, Najee Marshall, Tims, I think if he continues on the run that he's been going on... Now, again, if you look at stats-wise, he's only averaging 11 this year, I think. But like you said, in his first few games, he was scoring 2 and 6 and 4 and 5. But if he carries on scoring how he has been and playing how he has been, Tims, I think he's in for a huge running. Now, my only last player on the list, and don't shout at me, is Victor Wembanyama. What do you think about that shout?
I see it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly what his stats were last year and how much they've jumped up.
So
what I would say is the eye test is that he's a much more polished player this year. So regardless of the stats, I can see where you're coming from. But give me the stats, Barn. I know you've got them.
Stats-wise, I do have them, Tims. I do have them. So he was averaging 21 last year. 21, 13 and 3, I think. He's still averaging 13 and 3. But he's only averaging 23 points. But in the last week, or last week and a half, he's averaging 34. So if he manages to keep that up, he kind of warmed up to the season a bit. The Spurs went on a bit of a win streak. So we'll see, Tims. Again, like we said, we'll give it to Franz. But I think Wemby, if he continues scoring at the rate he has been this week, then he should definitely have his name in the hat.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Franz, I think if we were betting men, Barn, we would say his averages might perhaps come down by the end of the season simply because Banchero will come back. Whereas Wembanyama, I would say he'd be averaging 25 points per game potentially by the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you, Tim. And Tim's, have you looked at the odds for most improved player?
Who's leading it?
I haven't. It just popped into my head.
Let's have a look.
I'm just having a Google now. Oh, go on. Guess who's top? We haven't mentioned him.
We're not?
No. Only because I thought he was too good. Oh, Tim's. No, I take it back. Guess who's top?
It's Franz. Is it really?
No way. Wow.
There you go.
I actually... Tim's, I don't know about you, but I thought it was a really rogue shout with Franz.
Well, I did too. I thought we were having some great insight here.
Yeah, same. Same.
And we're not bookmakers in disguise here.
No, we really aren't. So I'll just read it. I'll read out the top five, Tim.
Go on.
Franz Wagner, followed by LaMelo Ball.
Wow.
Yeah, joint with Jalen Williams.
Okay.
Slightly strange one for me, because I thought he had a great year last year.
Yeah, agree.
And then our two guys, Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, we always had the top three.
Yeah. Your guy RJ Barrett, Tim's, is 20-1 at the moment.
Well, I did think about RJ, but then I looked at his numbers and he put up big numbers last year that haven't really improved this year. So you can't give it to him. But I was a bit disappointed by that. But hey.
Yeah. Now, Tim's, moving swiftly on, Defensive Player of the Year. Do you want to kick us off or shall I?
I kicked us off for most improved, so I'll give you the honour of kicking this one off if you fancy it. But
okay, well, if I was giving it right now, I would give it to Victor Wembanyama. Yeah. I would. You too?
Me too.
I think he's way too strong on the defensive end, Tim. I touched on it in episode one that his not only is he 7'3" or whatever he is, 7'4", his defensive timing is ridiculous. Like you can have tall people who really they get blocks because they're tall. Wemby, even if he was a foot shorter, he would still get blocks because of his instincts and timing. He's averaging 3.6 blocks and 1.2 steals. I think it's pretty obvious at the moment if we were giving it now.
I agree. I completely agree. 3.6 blocks a game, and I compared this to last year's winner and four-time Defensive Player of the Year, Barn, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Whereas 1.6 blocks a game, 0.4 steals. And I mean, maybe it's unfair because Gobert is known to have a presence down there despite not getting quite as many blocks as his defensive impact might suggest.
Yeah.
But I think the same can be said for Wembanyama. You see so many clips of players, they'd normally go for a layup, but they see Wemby anywhere near the paint and they'll retreat to the three.
I know, Tim's. I know. Yeah, so, Rudy has that influence, but yeah, the Wemby's influence is, like you say, is second to none, I think, at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, agree. So, any other contenders, Barn, following
contenders?
Up?
Contenders? My guy Dyson Daniels, Tim's, I would put up there. You cannot not look at a man averaging three steals and a block to go with it, Tim's. He's averaging 1.1 blocks as well.
Right.
He's the main contender for Wemby.
Yeah, I agree. Those are the three names I have down. Wembanyama, Dyson Daniels and Rudy Gobert, just for comparison.
Yeah. I've got AD on my list as well, Tim's.
Yeah, okay.
Averaging two blocks for 1.3 steals. He's just doing a lot for the Lakers at the moment. I think he's always been a great defensive player, so it's impossible to say he's improved from last year. But I think he's taken on a lot. With a couple of injuries and stuff, Vanderbilt's still out. He's obviously great on the defensive end. No, I like AD, and if he continues playing how he is, his name will be in the hat. He'll probably be top five. But yeah, at the moment, it really is. In my opinion, it's a two horse race, Tim. I'm not hating your Rudy Gobert shout, but
no, I don't think Rudy Gobert is in the top two at the moment. I would have Wemby and Dyson Daniels, the Great Barrier Thief, as two. And my question to you, Barn, is let's play devil's advocate for a second here.
Yeah.
What does our man, the Great Barrier Thief, have to do to win this award? I mean, over three steals a game is absurd. It's absolutely crazy. What does he have to do to beat Wembanyama? Does he have to get four? Does he have to keep this up? What does he have to do?
That is such a good question, Timms, and a question I cannot answer.
Is there anything he can do?
Is there anything he can do? If Wemby keeps playing how he is, it'll be a really tough shout. I mean, that's also, Timms, considering Dyson Daniels keeps playing how he is.
Of course. But,
yeah, you're right. Are we stupid saying that Wemby is the obvious pick right now, even though Dyson's averaging 3 steals? Maybe we are.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of defensive impact, I think Wemby is winning. But, yeah. Hey, I'd love to see the Great Barrier Thief get involved in this award race until the end of the year. Wouldn't that be great? Just so we can keep saying his nickname again and again and again.
Yeah, me too, me too. It's my favourite nickname in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
As soon as you tell me, I'll be done. Timms, I had Evan Mobley on my list because... As awards go, he's the best defensive player on the best team. He's averaging 1.6 blocks and 1.1 steals. He's hyper-athletic. He's a good rim protector. But I just thought I'd throw his name in there. But I'm not sure he'll be in the running come the end of the year. I'm not even sure he's in the running now.
Fair enough. And if he's in there, I would throw Derek White in. Because he doesn't get big numbers. He averages 0.8 steals over one block a game. For a guard, is obviously pretty big numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is just an incredible defender. He is so rock solid, so consistent as well.
Yeah.
I mentioned him a few weeks ago. As everyone loves to talk about Derek White, but...
He's become trendy, hasn't he?
He's so trendy, but he's amazing. So he's on trend for a good reason.
Yeah, I'm with you, Timms.
Yeah.
I'm with you. No, love Derek White. Love Derek White.
So we've got two awards so far. The long two most improved player, Franz Wagner. The long two defensive player of the year, Victor Wembanyama. Where are we going next, Barn?
You tell me, Timms. Sixth man.
Shall we save MVP? We'll save that.
We'll save MVP. We'll work out for it, shall we?
Let's go for sixth man of the year then.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick us off for this one?
On who I think wins it at the moment?
Yeah. Go for it.
I think Peyton Pritchard wins it at the moment, Timms. I think he's been super efficient. He's averaging 15 or so on the great Celtics team. He impacts the game a bit more than the other candidates, I think. Now, my other people might say, oh, Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's been crap the last few games. Honestly, last week, he could basically have not have played. I reckon if he hadn't played, the Warriors would have won a couple more games. He's been terrible. I like Buddy, don't get me wrong. And for the first few weeks of the season, he was amazing. He was the obvious front runner for the sixth man of the year. But right now, I'll give it to Peyton Pritchard. I think he's been super consistent on a great Celtics team. Very impactful. Yeah, that's my pick, Tim.
No, I think that's a good shout. I mean, Buddy started the season so hot, didn't he? And yep. He is still shooting 44% from three on the year. So his numbers are great. And I guess he had to regress to the mean at some point. He can't shoot 5 of 7 from three every game.
But
I think this award could be close, actually. I think Peyton is winning for now. And like you say, he's impacting winning. I mean, to put up 14 points a game on a Celtics team with so many shooting and scoring options is pretty impressive. And Peyton is rock solid. So I think it's a fair shout to give it to him.
Yeah.
Aside from Buddy, I would throw Ty Jerome into the mix from the Cavs. As you mentioned, the Cavs 17-2, the best record in the league. And Ty Jerome has been shooting 58% from the field. Only 1.3 turnovers a game, only 12 points, but that goes with 2 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been brilliant and come out of nowhere, and definitely a reason why the Cavs have had this super hot start to the year. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in the mix for this award as well.
Timms, completely agree with you. He was top of my list as well, apart from those two.
No.
He's impacting winning basketball. It's like Peyton Pritchard. He's actually making a huge impact on a team with so many weapons already. He's making himself known. I'll be completely honest. I hadn't really heard of Ty Jerome before this season, Timms. No. I'd heard the name flying around, but I never really watched his basketball, if that makes sense.
No.
But no, I think he's great. He's a great decision maker.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to see him flying high above the rim, are you? But watching him, his IQ is quite enjoyable, actually.
Yeah, no, me too, Timms. I do enjoy watching him. Another, I had two more contenders on my list, Timms.
Let's go for it.
The first one of my favourite players of all time, we spoke about him earlier, Russell Westbrook. I think if he continues playing how he's been playing the past couple of weeks, he's in with such a shout. Really weird to have him in the sixth man breath rather than the MVP breath of old. But times change, roles change. And I think he's a great piece for the Nuggets, Timbs. Again, he's impacting winning basketball. Sometimes, okay? Like you said, Russ gets on in garbage time to keep the momentum going of his. But he also plays some good minutes in tight games. And he really does make a difference. So Russ is another shout for me, Tim. Amen Thompson for the Rockets. The Rockets have been flying high this season. And that guy, he's got a bit of everything. No, I've been enjoying watching him as well, Tim.
Yeah, he's been good. He's a bit of, I mean, you just mentioned Jared Vanderbilt. He seems to be an elite defender, Amen Thompson, on the Rockets. And they have a great record. Do you have their record to hand? They're flying in the difficult West.
And find it quick, Tim.
They've obviously got Şengün, who's been playing brilliantly.
Love that guy.
Borderline all-star level. I mean, we haven't mentioned him for most improved or any awards so far, but he's been great to watch, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been great to watch, but he was great last season.
Exactly.
He just doesn't seem to get mentioned enough, I think. Yeah. He's one of those players. I watched one of Paul George's podcast episodes with Şengün. He's such a nice guy as well. 14-6, Timbs, second in the West.
Yeah, and very impressive. And I mean, Jalen Green has not shot the ball that efficiently. He's been putting up some big numbers recently. I think he had a 41-point game against Philly. But yeah, Şengün's been awesome, and Amen Thompson as well, like you say, has definitely shown himself to be one of the best defensive players in the league. But I'm glad you mentioned Russ, because I have him written down as well.
Yeah, no.
4-6. And he just seems to be slowly finding his role. Finally, I mean, after he's left the Thunder, he's been all over the league, struggling to find a place, obviously. And he just maybe seems to be finding it. And he seems to be getting better every week playing on the Nuggets, working out how he can combine with Jokic. And maybe he plays 10 minutes when Jokic is on the bench every game and he just runs the show for those few minutes and you have some Russ mania. But but it's been wonderful to watch. And as you say, he's shooting the ball fairly well from three compared to certainly how he has done recently.
38, all right, Tibbs,
So I am surprised. I've just checked the odds. He's 30-1 for this award with Peyton Pritchard as the league contender.
He's the front runner. Go on, read out the top few, Tim.
So you have Pritchard as one. Amen Thompson, you had him at two.
Is he?
He is. He's two. He's the second favourite. Then you have Tari Eason, another Rocket.
Okay.
In third place. Ty Jerome, and then Buddy Hield. So Buddy's still up there, despite his shooting slump. But Russ is outside the top 10 for favourite.
Wow. Lump on, Tim. Lump on.
I don't know about that. But what I am interested in is, how many players have won an MVP and Sixth Man of the Year in their careers? Is that a question? Is that a question you can answer, Bum?
It has to be zero, doesn't it?
Wrong. There is one player who has done it.
What generation?
I mean, it's a difficult one. It's the 80s.
Okay. But he won MVP.
MVP, Bill and Walton. I think about 7 or 8 years later, won Sixth Man of the Year.
Bill
it's
Walton.
Possible. Say again?
Bill Walton.
You've got it.
Done it. Come on.
NBA trivia on the
Paper.
Bill Walton, MVP and Sixth Man of the Year. So maybe Russ can do it as well.
Maybe he can. You impressed I got that, Tim?
Yeah, very impressed, actually.
I thought it had to be someone who got plagued with injuries for a bit.
Very impressive. We'll do some more trivia later.
Right, Tim. Well, I think we only have... should we bother doing Coach of the Year, Tim? Or is Kenny Atkinson just...
I don't think we need to. I think Kenny Atkinson's the Coach of the Year, right?
Kind of silly, yeah. It would be rude to even think about giving it to anyone else, I think.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson's the Coach of the Year.
Yeah, again, unless the Cavs have a really terrible next part of the season, then it would be really mean not to give it to him, I think, wouldn't it?
Agree. Any other contenders, or are we just going to give it to him and move on?
I like JJ Redick for the possibility, because he's doing great things with basically the same team as last year, but they look like a completely different team. I think that shows what a great coach he's going to be. Steve Kerr of the Warriors has been doing really well, I think. You put me on the spot here, Tim.
I think Kenny's the winner, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He was such a clear front runner.
Yeah, he didn't need to consider any other options.
No. But if I was thinking of anyone, then it would be JJ Redick, just because of what he's doing with the same bad Lakers team, in inverted commas, we were watching last year, coached by Darvin Ham, best coach on the planet. But yeah. What he's done for the Lakers so far, it's been nice to watch.
Agree. I think maybe if you had to say one other, I would say Ime Udoka for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Like we just discussed, 14-6, second in the West, the stats West. He deserves a shout, I suppose.
Yeah, and so different compared to last season, Tim, so you're right. They're absolutely flying, yeah.
Exactly. But Kenny Atkinson is our coach of the year so far.
Yeah.
Happy. I think we've agreed on all of these so far, haven't we, Barn?
We have, Tim, yeah. Really weird.
Well, one I don't think we'll agree on is Rookie of the Year.
Oh, go on. Who have you got?
I mean, we have... There's been a few great rookies this year.
Yeah.
Ricochet, the number one pick, has been playing pretty well for the Hawks.
He's been all right.
But I think the biggest name, the biggest breakout name of the rookies so far is... Wow, I don't know. I was going to say Jarrod McCain of the 76ers.
Connect has had the most publicity... Yeah. Obviously, because he's on the Lakers.
He plays for the Lakers.
And it seems like people are forgetting Jarrod McCain's a rookie, Tibbs.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, where did this guy come from? And it's like, oh, he literally just got drafted.
Literally. Did you see the Paul George podcast where he said Jarrod can't be our most consistent player?
I did. And what do you take on that, Tibbs, out of interest?
I think he's completely right, but I enjoy the comments of everyone saying... How's PG jumping on the podcast rather than trying to fix this damn record on the Philadelphia 76ers at the moment? Well. He's right. He's 100% right. It's a mess in Philly. We were keeping an eye on that situation in last week's podcast, and it's not got much better this week, has it?
Not at all, Tim. Not at all. Even with the guys back in town, yeah.
Exactly. But their one shining light so far this year is Jarrod McCain. 16.5 points per game. I think he had a 6 or 7 game spell with 20 points or more in a row, which for a rookie is really impressive.
Unheard of, isn't it? He's been great.
He's definitely up there for Rookie of the Year so far. But you mentioned Dalton. You think he's got a shout, Barn?
At this moment in time, Tims, I think Jarrod McCain is the obvious Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
But... going forward to the rest of the season, I do think Dalton has a shout. Now, I haven't looked at Rookie of the Years of old Tims, but does record matter? Or not at all?
I don't know.
Wemby. Spurs had a crap season, didn't they?
Exactly. Who won last year?
Yeah, Wemby.
There you go. Yeah.
And Chet was on a great OKC team.
Yeah, so I don't think so. But it would be an outrage if Wemby didn't win it.
It really would. but I think so far, Tims, if you're going to give it to anyone else but Jarrod McCain, that's an outrage, isn't it? Go on. Who are you? Who would you give it
to? Well, I did want to mention, he's been mentioned on this podcast already, Stephon Castle for the San Antonio Spurs. 11.5 points per game, but he is getting 4 assists with that. 3 rebounds as well. Going up against, he's impressing the likes of LeBron James after LeBron went up against him. And I think he's an electrifying player, if I can say it.
Yeah.
He's been great to watch. High flying. Throws himself around the court and has some great plays. And I don't know, I feel like so far he's not winning over Jarrod McCain. But certainly by the end of the season, I wouldn't be too surprised if Stephon Castle and the Spurs... has a greater chance of beating McCain than he does now.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you actually, Tim. So I thought we'd be arguing for a bit.
Yeah.
No, I'm completely with you. He's had a great start to the season, Castle. And if he continues the way he is. Also, Castle has the bonus of everyone's healthy on the Spurs. Yeah. He's playing as many minutes as he's going to play. Jarrod McCain, on the other hand, when everyone's healthy again, yes, he will get minutes.
Yeah.
He won't get as many minutes, will he?
Exactly.
His minutes will be worse because he won't be getting as many touches.
Exactly. I mean, Embiid's hardly played this year. And when he has, he's taken 10 shots and looked awful.
yeah, really bad.
And Paul George and Maxey have been in and out the lineup as well. So you know what? Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I think Stephon Castle was actually my front runner for this award, Barn.
Yeah, Tim's explanation wise, I'm completely with you. Yeah, no, connect or castle, because connect's been great. Let's be honest.
I mean, you had a 37-point game.
Yeah, which for a rookie is ridiculous. Absolutely shot the lights out.
Yeah.
But
although it was against the Jazz, who are getting slandered.
Yeah, it was against, you're right, their coach didn't have a word him after the game about exactly that.
I mean, you mentioned the quote from the Jazz
coach after the game, yeah. Didn't you? Yeah, which was, I'll remind you of it, Tim. Please. It was, everyone in the gym, apart from a select few people, knew that Dalton was going to shoot the ball down the court. It's a shame that those select few were on our team.
So good.
It made me really like him, actually.
Yeah, coaching the Jazz, one of the most horrible jobs in sport.
Yeah, it must be really depressing at the moment. Really depressing. But no, Tim, I'm completely with you. I like your insight on that a lot.
Yeah. Hey, you got any other candidates for this award?
I don't actually, Tim, so...
I
kind of stopped at that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, who are we going to award it to?
Well, this moment in time, Tim's, I think we can both agree it is Jared McKay. Can we not?
Okay, agree.
At this exact moment in time. But I think, if I was a betting man, then my money would go on Stephen Castle or Connect. And probably lean towards Stephen Castle, because, like we were saying, his role is not going to change.
Exactly. And, I mean, we mentioned, as winning record count, Philadelphia outside the playoffs right now in the East, and Spurs have a winning record in the West. So
yeah, which is crazy, isn't
exactly.
it? Spurs have a winning record. Yeah. They put together a little 3-game win streak this week, didn't they? Or 4 games, even.
Yeah, they're doing really well. I mean, They're currently 10-9, the 10 seed with a positive win-loss record in the West, ahead of the likes of the Kings and the Timberwolves. Oh. I mean, they're flying.
Yeah, really flying. It'll be interesting to see how that pans out going further into the season, Tim, won't it?
Exactly, and I mean, quick sidetrack here onto the Spurs, but you asked me a few weeks ago, do the Spurs make a move and try and press on this year, try to increase their win now chances with Wemby playing how he's playing? Obviously, they've got CP3 as well, who obviously brings some veteran leadership and great ball handling as well. But, I mean, I didn't expect them to start this season so well. So, if they have another few weeks like this, maybe they do need to make a move. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I feel the exact same thing. When I asked you the question, I was kind of in two minds in my head. Wemby's obviously so good already and is so for more season. But, I was thinking, we talked about, didn't we, how maybe you should wait for him to improve. But actually, the Spurs have been looking really nice.
Yeah, they have.
No, I don't. Tim's, last thing we'll say about the Spurs, but who do you think they should go out and get? If they were going to sign someone now?
Oh, that's a great question. That really is putting me on the spot. I mean, who's on the block? Who's on the block?
Zach LaVine's always literally thrown around the league.
He's been on the block for 7 years, hasn't he?
yeah, that man is never not on the block.
Yeah. No, one player I do think could impact a team who's not perhaps playing as much as he would like to now is Marcus Smart on the Grizzlies. Oh, yeah. And I think someone could... I mean, he's a forgotten man. And I think on any contending team, he's on the Grizzlies now and not playing too many minutes. I think he had a big game recently, funnily enough. But I think Ja Morant and a few players are out. But anyway, Marcus Smart could be a cool pickup for a team wanting to contend now, I think.
Yeah. No, I like your shout.
You got any ideas for the Spurs?
Nah, none at all. I knew you'd have one.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be the
best. I mean, I really plucked that out of thin air, I think. Let's be honest.
I enjoy it, Tim, so I enjoy it. I wonder if Philly will try and ship someone soon, but I don't think they will.
I thought
someone like Dame might be on the chopping block, you know, or Giannis, but now that they're winning again, they've won 6 of their last 7.
There was talk of the Thunder giving up their absolute war chest of draft picks for Giannis, wasn't there? But maybe looking a bit less realistic.
Yeah, it is. Now that they're actually playing well. Well, Giannis has been playing well all season, but now that Dame's and the rest of the team are actually... they can make more than one shot a game, then I think it's more likely that he will stay, Tim's. I agree. Cool. Right, Tim's. So we're on to the big one.
What? You're joking. We're finally on Clutch Player of the Year.
Tim's, Clutch Player of the Year is not a real award. I refuse to acknowledge it as a real award.
I'm relieved. I'm relieved because I it's not a real award.
No,
I completely agree.
Exactly. And it's a silly award. There's too many clutch moments. There's something like Clutch Player of the Year, Tim. I would almost like it more if it was Clutch Moment of the Year.
Yeah, agree.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
You have people who they might score more fourth quarter points than the next person, but the next person might have had a couple of ridiculous game winners. Do you know what I mean? They might average 2 points in the fourth, but they've had four game winning buzzer beaters.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I don't like the award.
Outrageous award. And maybe for next week we'll come up with a new award for the NBA to replace Clutch Player of the Year with.
I like it. I like your thinking.
You are right, Barn. We are onto the big one. It's Most Valuable Player. Do you want to kick us off?
We both got the same person, have we not? Who's winning it right now? It's Nikola Jokic.
Absolutely has to be. Nikola
Jokic. Yeah. You said it last week, Tim. He's averaging more points than MVP Shaq, more rebounds than MVP Duncan, and more assists than MVP Steve Nash. So... he's just the obvious front runner, Tims. Now the Nuggies, they're seventh in the West at the moment with a 10-7 record. But Jokic averaging basically a 30-point triple double. I think he's averaging 29.8 points, is he?
Yeah.
It's just silly, Tims. That guy's the best player in the league at the moment.
By
absolute far. We spoke about it last week. Is he playing the best basketball ever played? I'm still questioning it. I'm still not sure. I watch him and I think this is one of the best basketball players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't know who you would have him instead of. He's just so bloody good, Tim. So good. You can't guard him. You just can't guard him.
He's ridiculous. And, I mean, when you compare the situation in Philadelphia and even Milwaukee to an extent to the Denver Nuggets, I mean... Every other player on that team, their numbers are down this year. Jamal Murray's not playing well compared to a few years ago. Michael Porter Jr. can't hit a three to save his life. I mean, it's pretty horrid what's going on. And from when they won the league, from when they won the title, I mean, I'm not sure what's happened to the roster there.
No, but
Jokic is literally carrying them every single night. And like you say, he's shooting, Barn, 53.4% from three.
From 53.4%. Yeah. What? Yeah. Hadn't seen that.
Yeah, 53.4% from three.
That's ridiculous.
Like you say, basically a 30-point triple-double, 13 rebounds, the most in the league. I think second most assists behind Trae Young.
Yeah.
The way he's playing is out of this world, and he's definitely by far the MVP of the season so far.
53%, Tims.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, that makes him even more ridiculous. And he doesn't... what I like about him, too, he doesn't just chuck him up, does he?
Yeah.
How many threes does he attempt a game, Tims?
Threes. 4.1 threes.
4.1. Oh, that's a bit more than I expected, actually. I thought he only attempted two or three. So he's making two of those 4.1. Wow.
Yeah. 2.2 threes made per game on 4.1 shot.
Shit. That is... Not much else can be said about that, Tims. I
agree.
Completely. It's so bloody good.
But I think this award would be more exciting as a race if Jokic wasn't in it.
I agree.
So who's in the race for second, Barn?
Who's in the race for second? I got a few names on my list. Tim's just mentioned him. Giannis has been playing out his mind.
Okay.
Whole season he's averaging 32, 12, and 6. 6.5 assists for Giannis, Tim's. And I've watching some Bucks highlights the past couple of weeks. His passing's got a whole lot better. He's looking a bit like Luka when he drives and dishes. It's nice to see. No, I've enjoyed Giannis. Other names on my list. Jason Tatum of the Celtics, 38-6. Yeah, Tatum, he's just a top quality player. Tims doesn't get enough recognition, in my opinion. Does everything right. Great on defense too. These guys who are in the MVP race. Obviously, Giannis is a defensive player of the year contender most years. But mostly, the guys in the MVP race don't do too much on defense. Tatum's great, especially considering he's only a three guard. Do you want to throw in a couple, Tim's, or shall I give you my last couple?
You go on. Keep them coming. Because I didn't have Giannis on my list, simply because, I mean, he hasn't played that many games. He's been out for some of the season.
Yeah.
But it's just been the record, which has obviously improved lately. But I guess I'm still stuck in week two of the season when the Bucks were 2-8 and Doc Rivers was a laughing stock on social media every day.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for that, Tim's, either. That still does sit fresh in my mind. But yeah, Giannis has been playing really well when he's been playing. AD, I think, should be mentioned in the race. Obviously, I mentioned him for Defensive Player of the Year as well. So absolutely great on defensive end. He's averaging 29, 11.5, and 3, obviously, with those two blocks and a steal per game as well. Lakers have got a good record, Tim's. I think going forward, if he continues playing how he is playing, he'll definitely be up there when it comes to the end of the season. And his name will be in the hat. And my last contender, Tim's, can you guess it?
I'll go with Kevin Durant.
Nope. It is Donovan Mitchell.
Is it really?
Because I'm going with the Steve Nash MVP topic, right? So, the Steve Nash MVP ideology of Donovan Mitchell's the best player on the best teams. If the Cavs continue as they are, if they lose less than 15 games all season, if they have a 65-plus win season, then he's got to have his name in there, doesn't he?
I think so. I was on the Basketball Reference MVP tracker.
Oh, yeah.
Top 10 just before this. And there were two Cleveland Cavaliers on there. And neither of them were Donovan Mitchell.
You're joking. Mobley and Jared Allen?
Mobley and Jared Allen were on
there. Yeah, fair enough.
Which I guess shows how well they've done as a team to not have Donovan Mitchell, according to this tracker. Yeah. I don't know how on earth this stat has worked out on here, but... to not have their leading player, quote unquote, on there, but I think it's fair enough. Mitchell has to be up there.
Yeah, he's averaging 25, 4, and 4 teams. I'm amazed he's not on their tracker yet, and they've got Mobley and Allen ahead of him. I love those two guys, and they're great. Allen especially on the defensive end, but
yeah, for sure. But I also think for this award there has to be an element of the eye test, right? And you can look at the numbers, but Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys who, when his team needs him to, you just feel he'll get a few buckets, he'll take over, he'll try and really put his authority on the game. And I think that pushes him up even higher in this award, potentially.
Yeah, agreed with you, Tim. Definitely agreed. He's a guy you want the ball to be in his hands at the end of the
game. Exactly. He's a player, if you support the other team and Donovan Mitchell has it, and it's a close game in the fourth quarter, that you're worried. You assume you're giving up a bucket, and somehow Mitchell will get one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you, Tim. I'm with you. Was there anyone I didn't mention, Tim, that was on your list?
I mean, I did mention Kevin Durant. He's been injured for a few games, but when he has played, he has just been wonderful to watch. Well into his 30s now. So, I mean, I would love to see Kevin Durant continue his form now he's back in it. And it's been great to see him back in the last few days. I do want to mention Steph Curry, actually, Barn.
Do you? Wow. Okay. Because
the Warriors, like you say, they have they're third in the West. They have a great record. And I mean, his numbers aren't Steph Curry MVP numbers from his two awards in his career earlier, but he's shooting 22. He's scoring, 22.5 points per game, 44.5% from three, as you would expect from Steph.
And he's
just leading the offense so wonderfully. Yeah, I mentioned it before. He's not getting any more assists than he's done throughout his career. But the way he moves the ball now, I mean, in year, what is it, 14, 15? No idea. But
15, I think, Tim.
Yeah, year 15. His IQ has improved so much. And he always, even when they were winning titles, he had a tendency to throw the ball away, maybe a few silly turnovers. And I think he's just become an even more well-rounded player. I think Steph Curry deserves a shout.
Yeah, fair play, Sim. Don't disagree with you at all on that. We want to see. And KD as well. They're two guys who've been in the league so long, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
KD is just still unguardable. He will be till the day he takes his shoes off, to be honest. But
absolutely. Which is amazing, isn't it? Because he's not got the pop or the quickness he used to have. But, I mean, you see him take a couple dribbles, cross over, another dribble, and then he pulls up and no one can get near his shot. Like, it's unbelievable, and he'll have that, like you say, until he retires.
Yeah, really strange, Timbs, because don't you think Wemby's shot looks more blockable than KD's?
Yeah, it really does.
I don't know how it works. I have no idea.
I mean, I saw a three against the Lakers game that Kevin Durant had, and it was one of those where there was an offensive rebound on the Suns. It was thrown back out to KD on the three-point line, and there was a Lakers player who had leaked out and then sprinted back to try and block KD's shot, almost without KD knowing he was there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks for all the world like this Lakers player would have a huge block on KD. And it looked like he should have done. But it was just out of reach somehow. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I like a stat bun.
Go on.
I've got one for you here. So we mentioned KD, Steph. I mean, we've mentioned a few players over 30 in our list. How many players in the last 20 years over the age of 30 or above, do you think have won MVP?
30 or above in the last 20 years?
Last 20 MVPs in the NBA.
Over 30. Zero.
There's been one. Who is it? It's Steve Nash. Steve Nash on the Suns 20 years ago, actually.
Wow. And he'd just turned 30. That was his second one back-to-back, wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So it's, what I'm saying is, this is a young man's award. I mean, players like KD, Steph, for one, they're not going to play the games. I mean, at this point in their career, they very rarely play 75 plus games a season, do they? It's usually 50, 60. They have some rest in there as well, which I guess is why what Jokic is doing is so unbelievable as well, because he does it every single night at the moment for the Denver Nuggets.
Well, how old is Jokic, Tim? So I thought he was 31.
Well,
He's 29.
He's 29, so he's one more year in the window.
Yeah, if he wins it this year, he will be the second player in the last 20 years to be 30.
Will he really? When does he turn 30?
February 19th.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not as close. Maybe it is a closer race than we thought.
Yeah, Giannis. Giannis turns 30 next week.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is absolutely crazy. It feels like he was drafted in this Royal Prospects last week or something.
Yeah, I know, Tims. I know. And also, I think Jokic, I don't know what it is about Jokic. I think he's so much older than he actually is.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
And Tim, someone we haven't mentioned because his team is so bad and they have such a terrible record is LaMelo Ball. He won't win MVP, and we kind of know that for a fact, but not through any fault of his own. I think that's fair to say. He's not horribly efficient, but I mean, the guy's averaging, what's he averaging?
31 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 7 assists, and he's shooting still over 13 threes per game.
Yeah, over 35% from three,
yeah.
45% from the field. Yeah. He definitely won't win MVP, Tims, because this, like we were saying about Rookie of the Year, they don't have to be on a winning team. The MVP does. Otherwise, they are not the most valuable player.
Completely agree. Another stat, quickly, is one I saw recently. I think this is in the last 40 seasons or so, but LaMelo Ball has the third highest usage rate over this insane period of time, 30 or 40 seasons so far this year. Only behind James Harden, 18-19 James Harden, and Russ on the Thunder after KD left. LaMelo is getting his shots up, put it that way.
Yeah. He sure is, Timbs, he sure is. And he's a great player. I like LaMelo.
Yeah, I mean, I did see a rumour that the Lakers would be interested in trading for him, whether that's a realistic trade or not. I won't discuss that. But
I saw rumours they were after Trae Young as well, Tim. They might be looking for a point guard, but I'm not sure how either of those two fit, to be honest.
No, I mean, I don't think that's what they need. I think they need...
Neither one. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Tim. I agree with you.
But go on.
No, I was about to say LeBron can always run the point. I think he's one of the best point guards in the league, even though he's not a point guard.
Yeah, and he's a name we haven't mentioned for MVP. for the MVP race in our awards, which I think is fair enough.
But, I'm fine with it, Tim.
Despite our love for the man.
Yeah, he's probably, you know what, if we went down the list, he's probably top 10.
Yeah.
Which I think is such a testament to the guy that he is, isn't it? Yeah. He's almost 40 and he's top 10 in MVP voting and no one's talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And he seems to get a triple-double every other game at the moment, by the way.
Had a huge one last night.
Yeah.
I can't remember who they played. Lakers. They played the Spurs. They snapped the Spurs win streak.
That was it.
And Bron had 16, 10, and 11. Oh, so not huge, but yeah. Nice to see.
But I think that's 6 triple-doubles already this season.
Yeah.
It's incredible. He's almost 40.
Yeah, ridiculous, Tim, isn't it?
But Barn, we seem to have agreed quite well across the board there on our awards so far.
We've done all right, Tim, haven't we? I think we've agreed completely, have we not?
Yeah, great minds think alike, I suppose.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Well, Tim, we'll come back to these and we'll see how stupid we were at the end of the season.
Yeah, these will be fun to look back on. Even at the halfway point, they'll probably look ridiculous.
Yeah. When Dyson Daniels is he's only averaging 0.8 steals or something.
Yeah, exactly. Great Mario Thief. Yeah, the great Mario Thief is no more. But hey, we're going to mention him and enjoy him while he's here because it's wonderful to watch. I mean, I think between this week and next week's podcast, it'd be nice to count how many steals the Great Barrier Thief can get hold of, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more. We'll keep a little tally.
Who've the Hawks got in the next week?
I don't know. Oh, did you see Trae Young's game last night? 20 points, 22 assists.
I did see that. And I thought of you. I thought of you telling me how he's going to lead a team to a title one day. But
It's against the Cavs as well, Tim. That's like they're playing him again tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But
Is it? It's the rebound game.
The rebound game, correct. Yeah, so they might get absolutely fucked, the Hawks. But yeah. we'll
absolutely. So they've got the Cavs, and then they have the Hornets and the Pelicans between now and next week's podcast. So I'd like to see 10 steals maybe across those three games from the Great Barrier Thief. That'd be good.
10 steals? Oh, you really want him to show up, Tim.
Yeah, but
you're right. I mean,
he's just on average, really. It's just an average performance by the Great Barrier Thief standards.
You're so right. But Tim, I mean, against the Hornets and the Pelicans, they're two of the worst teams in the NBA at the moment. I think the Pellies, they're well bottom of the West, aren't they?
Yeah.
So maybe you're almost undershooting him. I know I was laughing, but...
Yeah, no, maybe, no.
Maybe we're going to see 15? Let's go 15, Tim. Let's
15 steals in the next week from the Great Barrier Thief.
Shit, it's possible. He was averaging 5 for a few games, wasn't he?
Yeah, so we'll be keeping an eye on that.
Yeah.
Anything else you'll be keeping an eye on in the next week, Bun?
Tim's, I haven't looked that far forward, mate. I've actually been watching such a nice amount of basketball this week. I haven't really been thinking about next week.
I mean, we're struggling. We struggle to keep up here in Europe. But we can't even look ahead. But
it's a nice problem to have, Tim's, watching too much basketball so you don't think about the next part of it.
Absolutely. Here's a question for you. Who will have the best record, the Celtics or the Cavs this time next week?
This time next week?
Yeah.
Let me have a quick look at who they are all playing.
Yeah, the Cavs have the Hawks.
Yeah.
And then they have Boston again. Yeah. And then they have the Wizards. By the way, I did subject myself to about, I would say, 90 seconds of watching a Wizards game this week. And it was such a horrid experience. I mean, it was terrible. So I stopped that immediately.
What had you done wrong, Tim? What were you punishing yourself?
I don't know. I felt like punishing myself clearly for something. It was a horrid watch, so I turned that off rapidly. Yeah.
Well done.
But another Cleveland-Boston matchup this week. So, hey, we've got that to look forward to.
That's exciting. Well, and that might determine who has the better record, Tim. Exactly. No, I think the Cavs will still have the better record, Tim. So I was just looking at Boston's games coming up. I literally just clicked off. Bulls, Cavs, Miami Heat, Pistons. Oh, actually, yeah. It could go either way, literally. I think it might actually rest on the Celtics-Cavs matchup, Tim.
I think so too. And not quite as hotly anticipated as their earlier matchup. But that'd be a good game nonetheless, I think. Potentially Eastern Conference Finals preview.
Yeah, it'll be great fun. I haven't even looked at when Luca might be back for us either. I'm just going to see if there's an injury update. Let us have a check, because I'm really intrigued, Tims, on how we're going to fare with Luca back. Because like I said earlier, I would never say, oh, the Mavs are better without Luca, because it's just a completely ludicrous thing to say.
I agree. But they have looked so good without him, and it has been nice to have a bit of a throwback and see Kyrie not as part of a big two or big three as he has done for so much of the last 10 years, but leading a team by himself. I've loved seeing that actually on the Mavericks.
Yeah, me too. It's like Kyrie of old, Tims, isn't he? He's such a good player. I'm glad he's slotted into the role that he's taken with us, because that's what I was worried about, because he's good enough to lead a team, Tims, I think. Obviously, when he was on the Celtics leading that young core, he had a few things going on mentally, which he freely admits, which meant that he wasn't quite able to take them where they needed to be. So, but he's more than capable of doing it now, don't get me wrong, which is why I'm so happy he's happy within his role when Luka's around.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't score that many more points when Luka's out, Tim. So he just runs the offense more. Yeah. He averages more assists, and he's a bit more impactful on the game. But he's more than happy to let Luka do his thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, injury-wise, Tim, apparently Luka's expected back tonight, according to Jason Kidd.
Well, there you go. You won't have to wait long to see how the Mavs fare. And like you say, it'll be interesting. Let's hope that Najee Marshall can continue his run for most improved player of the season, despite Luka's return.
Please, I would enjoy that, Tim. I would enjoy that. Have you got your eye on much, Tim, apart from what we've talked about?
Well, I'm looking forward to that Boston-Cleveland matchup, despite it not being as hyped as their prior matchup this season. Aside from that, I'd quite like to see if Philly can win any games. I mean, they're 3-14 now, and we mentioned it a few times, and saying that, of course, they're going to make the playoffs. Of course, they'll come back in the weak East. Yeah. But they're giving themselves a lot to do. So,
how fun.
I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued to see how that situation unfolds. And I think that will become more interesting, especially in a month or two, if it does look like they're not going to make the playoffs. And they have to decide what they're going to do with their roster and, of course, Joel Embiid. So, I'm keeping an eye on that for sure. Yeah. But aside from that, I'll obviously be keeping a close eye on my Raps. And hopefully we can continue keeping games close without winning too many. That's what I'll be looking out for, Mum.
Yeah, nice, Tim. Nice. I was just looking, once you mentioned Philly, I was just looking at their fixtures this week. So they got a couple of nice ones. They got the Pistons and the followed by the Hornets. Then they play the Magic back-to-back. Now, we all know how Embiid feels about back-to-backs.
Yeah.
And the Magic playing how they are at the moment, that's going to be bloody tough.
That is.
If I was a betting man, Tim, I would bet on the Philly to lose both those games.
I agree, particularly with our man Franz Wagner playing how he's doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Tim, one thing I wanted... We're nearing the end, obviously, of this week's episode, but one thing I wanted to leave you with... Something I had on my notes as a must mention this week.
Go on.
It's words from Gilbert Arenas. I think I might have even seen them the night we filmed our podcast after one of the games. This is an actual quote, Tims, from Gilbert Arenas. I could not believe it.
Go on.
So he said, "The NBA took away aggression to open up the EuroLeague. When they first started getting here, it was too rough for them and they didn't make it." He's on about the Euro players from the EuroLeague. "So eventually they softened the rules to open up internationally. The NBA took away aggression to open up to the EuroLeague." Tim's, I copied and pasted it twice. I was thinking, hang on, that looks familiar.
You said the same sentence twice.
He's gone mental. Yeah. But Tim's, I think he actually has gone a bit crazy, hasn't he? They've softened the rules to open up internationally. I just don't get it. You hear players, and they've said it so many times. Like when Luka came to the league, obviously he'd been playing for Real Madrid in the EuroLeague since he was like 16, won MVP over there, and he said the NBA was so much easier.
Yeah.
He said it straight away, because you don't have a defensive 3 seconds, for example, in the EuroLeague, or an offensive 3 seconds. Oh, do you have an offensive 3 seconds in the EuroLeague, Tim?
I don't know if you do, actually.
I don't know if you do. You definitely don't have a defensive one.
Yeah.
So obviously getting to the paint is much harder. So for someone like Gilbert Arenas to say that, I don't know if he's trying to make his era seem tougher. You know what the old heads always try and do.
Yeah.
But he really... I just found it hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And I think it's because he's also... Maybe he's a proper patriot. Maybe there's a slight bit of international hatred coming from his American head. Players like Franz and Luka and Jokic and Giannis. Tim's, most of the players we've been talking about today are international Europeans, aren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, how many MVPs have been from Europe in a row now? There's been Giannis, there's been Jokic. Obviously, Luka's always up there as a preseason contender.
Yeah.
So like you say, I mean, Gilbert Arenas clearly is an old head. Yeah. One thing I would say is my quick research finds that his son is potentially a top 10 pick in 2026. So
oh, really?
perhaps he's got some family-oriented goals with that quote. But hey, perhaps we have one more award to give out today, Barn, and that's old head of the season so far. Yeah. It's Gilbert Arenas.
Definitely Gilbert so far. Yeah. Definitely Gilbert so far. I saw a funny little montage someone had put together, Tim, so I'm guessing they were European, the person who put it together. But it was Gilbert losing three straight years in the first round to LeBron each time. it was when Big Z was around. It was just a compilation of Big Z kind of dunking on Gilbert's head. That was great.
A nice surprise final award to offer out before we ended today's podcast. So
yeah, and Tim, no doubt that will change. No doubt that will change either.
Well, it will take some beating, I think. Gilbert definitely leading by some way. Yeah. He's got a Jokic-esque lead in that award.
Yeah. Tim, well, lovely talking to you as always.
You too, sir. Been lovely. Always enjoy chatting hoops with you.
Everyone, thank you for watching, as always. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us through our podcasting journey. And we'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys.